You're listening to the Fantasy Alarm MLB DFS Podcast with hosts John Impemba and James Grande.
What's going on, FA Nation? John Pember here with James Grande. This is the Quick Pitch MLB DFS Livestream Podcast for Monday. 8 games, James, here on this slate, but as we're talking right before we went on air, if you're looking at DraftKings here, we got some potential weather issues. Yeah, we haven't dug too deep. I don't know if you've got the Weather Center open or weather.com, but it looks like there's going to be some rain potentially in the Northeast. I know I live in Boston. We're expecting to get some rain. The Phillies, Pirates, and Yankees matchups, all potentially going to be impacted by some rain here. So you're going to have to follow that throughout the day. 8 games could potentially get down to 5. You got to worry about sort of how you're going to manage some of the weather. So again, we're recording here Sunday night for Mondays. I mean, so as the weather center gets updated throughout the day, be sure to check that in to Roster Lock, because one of the best pitchers on the slate is potentially in that matchup, right? We got Max Scherzer going in New York. Top price guy, 11-3. If he's not on the slate, it certainly alters the way ownership goes. It alters the way lineups are being built. So it's quite the wrinkle thrown into an 8-gamer.
Yeah, and on just the cherry on top too, John, we're in Chicago, so there's always a chance for a wind to be blown out too in Wrigley. So just some more potential weather that we're going to have to monitor, because anytime we start seeing that wind blowing out in Wrigley, anything that starts reaching double digits, 9, 10, 11, 12 plus, that's when offense really comes to play. So on top of the rain in the Northeast area, we also have Wrigley to pay attention to. Thankfully, though, John, no Coors Field, which is wonderful.
Yeah, no Coors Field is nice. I agree with you there 100%. Well, let's just get into it. Like I said, we're going to break down the slate as if there's, these games are going to be played.
Right.
Otherwise, risk sort of missing certain plays or players or stacks and whatnot. So, but again, make sure you check out the playbook. James is going to be on the playbook for Monday. And if anything comes down, obviously take that into considerations there for sure. So pitching, Scherzer's at New York against the Yankees at 11-3. Julio Urias at home at 10K against a Milwaukee team that we've been talking about. Really struggling against left-handed pitching right now, especially in the strikeout category. Justin Steele at 9 strikeouts for Sunday's slate against Milwaukee. Lauer on the flip side of that matchup against the Dodgers here. We only use Lauer at home, so definitely not going to play him against the Dodgers. As your top 4 guys, we kind of like to break these up into sections. So 9K and above, Scherzer, Urias, and Lauer. For me, I'm out on Lauer. I'll be willing to play the other two, assuming there's no issues with Scherzer in the rain.
Yeah, I mean, Scherzer, obvious top play. Any slate, even against the Yankees, it's been well documented how bad the Yankees have been. They even got a win on Sunday, and they only scored 4 runs. They just had good pitching. So definitely in on Scherzer as long as the weather permits. Definitely in on Urias. We just saw this matchup. Labored through 5 innings, John. I think you and I both were Urias fans that night.
Yeah, we expected more, for sure.
Yeah. I think we're both in on the strikeout props, and it's something that we've been talking about a lot with Milwaukee in the month of August, 29.1% K rate against lefties. So six strikeouts in 5 innings is a good ratio.
Yeah.
And it would have been a better ratio if he didn't throw 94 pitches in 5 innings, because if he goes,
it was like his least efficient start in a long time.
Yep. The good news is he's going home, much more of a pitcher-friendly park.
Yep.
Like that a lot, and I'm with you. I will say on the Lauer front, he has definitely been better at home, but he did look good in this start against the Dodgers. 7 innings, 2 earned, 7 strikeouts.
Well, he was home.
But he was home.
2.64 ERA at home, 4.48 ERA on the road. It's just the thing that I just believe in. He's got 24 total home runs on the year, 15 of those in 12 road starts.
Okay.
So
he's 10-1 on FanDuel. So if you were considering as a contrarian play, don't do that on FanDuel at 10. We do have 3 other guys over 9K, just to get your thoughts on FanDuel.
Sure.
Sonny Gray, Jordan Montgomery, Pablo Lopez, all over 9K. Of that crew, Lopez and Montgomery both feel pretty dang good. I know Lopez has struggled a little bit.
Yeah, I don't mind Lopez. I mean, we generally play him at home, but what do we talk about with Oakland, right? Oakland's one of the bigger ballparks in all baseball. A ton of foul ground balls where generally find the stands. They get caught for outs in Oakland. So, I think it's certainly a spot, but yeah, he's really started to balloon here in the second half. And actually, if you look at his home road split, better on the road. I think some of that, again, is due to some recent performances for him at home.
Sure.
6 innings against the Padres that we saw him allow. 6 runs against the Padres and 4 2/3. 6 runs on 2 2/3 against the Mets. So, 12 earned runs and, in 5 1/3 innings and 2 of his last 3 home starts is going to balloon that ERA. But 3.34 ERA on the road, you know, against an Oakland team there. So I'm with you. He's only 8,000 over on DraftKings, so that's a pretty good spot for him there. I think Montgomery is kind of the interesting one, yeah, because we've talked about it since the trade over to St. Louis. He's been pitching with anger, it seems like, right? So, you know, maybe even though they're on the road, they're in Chicago, and like you mentioned, you know, take a look at the weather. The wind potentially could be an impact there. On the year, the Cubs have the seventh highest strikeout rate against left-handed pitching. Over the last 30 days, it's 25.5% strikeout rate. And Monty's strikeout numbers, his last two starts, granted at home, 8 strikeouts in each of those games.
Right. I think he's going to probably be the chalk SP2. I think as long as there's, you know, no wind blowing out, because we are recording Sunday evening,
yeah,
and we're unsure of how that's going to play out.
He's got one start against the Cubs already this year. I'm trying to check out to see if he was home or away. 7 shutout innings, 5 strikeouts in that outing.
The Yankees did need him in the rotation, though, right? That's how that worked.
Probably did, but they felt like they didn't. So that was I'm guessing that was a home start because, yes, home start. 7 innings, 5 hits, 5 strikeouts back on June 11th when he was with the Yankees there. So, yeah, again, Monty's been a guy we've liked. He's $8,300 on DraftKings. He's up over 9K, you said, over on FanDuel. I'm fine going there. Sonny Gray's been good. And he has been good. We've talked about Texas, right, and how disappointing it feels like they've been at times. They have some guys we do like, Nate Lowe, Corey Seager. It almost kind of stops there, though, at times when it comes to reliability in that lineup. Now, he did get rocked, five earned runs on 4 2/3 innings in his last time against Texas. That was back on July 8th. You know, but of late, again, you look at his home and road numbers, ERA is around 3. You know, he's home for this game. So, you know, strikeouts up at home this year. Look at the drastic difference in strikeout rate. At home, he's at 60 strikeouts in 49 innings. On the road, he's only at 29 in 40 innings. So, weird. Over a strikeout per inning guy at home for whatever reason. So, if you want to go Sonny Gray, I think any 3 of those pitchers, like you mentioned, are in a good spot.
Yeah, just to pad on to the Sonny Gray love here. Texas in August, 24th in OPS. They are 23rd in WOBA. They're hitting for no power, 29th in ISO. And the ninth highest K rate. So, like, you can't, like you said, it's risky, I think, to play him in cash. And I don't think you need to, because you could play Jordan Montgomery for $200 cheaper, at least on DraftKings. But Sonny Gray and Pablo Lopez, good tournament plays for sure.
Yep, I like it. If we go below, under $8,000, I'm not really playing Syndergaard, and there could be weather here. I don't know what your thoughts are. I know he's been decent his last couple, so maybe you feel a little bit differently. At $7,800, I just have a thing against him this year. I feel like he's been very inconsistent. But Cincinnati is obviously a team that, you know, that you can pitch against if you want to go in that direction. Are there any other under 8K guys? I mean, I've been playing Oda Rizzi. You know, I know he got hit up in his last start, but he's been, you know, at times decent. He's got a matchup against Pittsburgh. You know, anybody else for you?
Jeffrey Springs, for sure.
Sure.
Would be a guy. I don't, like, love the pitch count, and I think they're kind of monitoring that. But there's strikeout upside there for Jeffrey Springs, even if he does only throw 85 to 90 pitches, especially against the Angels. Now, the Angels lineup has gotten a little deeper, right? Sure. We've seen Trout play 3 days in a row. And but we'll have to see. He's played 3 days in a row. Otani left Sunday's game with an illness. Like, if both those guys are out of the lineup, we're back to square one, and the Angels are, you know, a corpse of a team again. So I think even if Trout and Otani are in the lineup, like, Springs is a guy that we saw earlier with, like, massive upside, and we're starting to see that a little bit again. So I think Jeffrey Springs 77 stands out.
Yeah, he had a 92 pitch outing against Cleveland, but then the last 3, 85, 85, 78, and he, you know, wasn't really in any danger here. So it is sort of a, you know, a difference there. 3 games in a row on the road for him. You know, 11 home appearances, 6 starts, a 2.27 ERA. So
you love the Trop too. Like, the Trop is amazing to pitch in.
Yeah. Yep, I agree with you. Would you go anywhere else here? Would you chase any strikeout upside with Rosny Contreras at all, or,
like, it's risky. Because it's Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to me, there's not a ton of good value, but I don't know, you know, if you're looking for somebody. Like I said, I throw Oda Rizzi out there against Pittsburgh. Yeah, I know some of their guys have been hitting the ball a little bit better, you know, but, you know, you figure Atlanta's a favorite to win that game, so.
I think, how about this? I think if we're following ownership trends and there's a lot of Oda Rizzi talk, I'm off.
Okay.
Because I don't want to have a chalk Jake Oda Rizzi.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's at all popping and people are like, yeah, then I'm out.
Okay.
Because I think that, yes, we've seen 30 fantasy point upside, but it was 4 starts ago. And since then, he has 11 11 fantasy points total in three starts. So
two tough outings against the Mets, and then, you know, kind of just grinded his way through Miami. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think it's an interesting spot there for him if you're looking down at some value. But, again, smaller slates, and it could be even shorter, right? So you take out Philly, you know, Cincinnati, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, and Mets and Yankees, you know, due to weather concerns, and you are just sitting in this Montgomery, Lopez, Gray tier. So
yeah, I'm with you. It's a good tier, though. That's a solid tier, dude. That's like a very good tier of pitchers. And if you want to throw like Springs, Syndergaard as well, like if you want to use those guys, like that's not a bad crop of guys to use.
All right, let's go to catcher. You know, expensive at the top. We generally don't like to spend up at catcher, but we can. Again, I've talked about it. I'm willing to go against Lauer at home. I mean, when he's on the road. So, you know, Will Smith, his numbers against left-handed pitching this year are what they've sort of been his entire career. You know, he's got an average around, you know, over 300. He's got an OPS over 800.
Who's Will Smith? Who's Will Smith?
Sorry, W.D. Smith, Will Smith, whatever, you know. Until DraftKings changes, you know, what they want to, they call him. But 891 OPS, 307 batting average this year against left-handed pitching. Lauer, again, 15 home runs allowed on the road. It could be a W.D. type of night.
Do you want to hear something, John?
Swing at me.
So 15 home runs on the road, right?
Yeah.
Against right-handers on the road, 13 home runs.
Yeah.
So 13 to 15, not really allowing, like, it's basically, it's an all-or-nothing approach. 48 slug, 312 on base, 342 wOBA. So, like, guys like Will Smith, Trey Turner, Mookie Betts, the guys that are hitting for power or can hit for power are the guys we want here.
Sure. I agree with you.
I'm with you on Smith. Also, I think the narrative on that, like, spend-up has kind of shifted. I think catcher's been so bad.
I would say it's also slate dependent. We go over this a lot too. Like, if there isn't many other spend up options, then I'm okay going with like an elite hitting catcher. We just often find value guys that we like going to.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, for me, an example for that, you know, Francisco Mia is at 3,500. He gets a lefty in Tucker Davidson against lefties this year. It's a limited sample size, right? But 390 average, 959 OPS. For me against lefties.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. And that's not like a fluke thing. Like last year was, you know, him and Zunino were just mashing left-handed pitching. So, you know, it's something that you can continue to kind of go back to, I think, with him. So at $3,500, you know, that's probably where I would go for my value. And if I'm spending up, it's Smith there against Lauer. Is there anybody else on your radar?
Yeah, I think if Gary Sanchez is in the lineup, he's been hitting well over his last 10. Travis d'Arnaud for one reason or another, John, is $3,000. And over his last 10 games, hitting 345 with an 1,100 OPS, another 14 fantasy points today. He's been super consistent. So I think this is actually a pretty good catcher slate. And I agree. I think Mejia is definitely the better of like this crop of catchers. But I would be interested maybe if Christian Bethencourt also makes the lineup for Tampa.
Okay.
Has a home run in each of his last two starts. Maybe it's something where they play Bethencourt at first or they DH one of these guys. Because, I mean, G-Man has been an actual corpse of a player.
Since he came back from the IL, basically, like 2 months ago, there hasn't been much there.
He might not have a hit since then. Like, I'm not even sure. But if they played, like, both catchers, I could see a scenario where, like, you save $900 to go to Bethencourt. I prefer Mejia, but Bethencourt has been a little better lately. Home run each of his last two games.
Our guy wasn't in the lineup the other day against a lefty, but Yan Gomes is 2,400 against Montgomery. So
yeah, I mean, it's because I think they're playing Higgins, PJ Higgins, a bunch now. I don't know if they're catching him or playing him at first, but if they're playing Higgins, Yan Gomes is probably losing out on at bats.
Yep, I agree with you. All right, let's go to first base. You mentioned Ohtani left, but to me, it doesn't really matter because we got another Cardinals versus lefty matchup.
Yeah, it does not matter. Play either of their first baseman.
Yeah.
Because both of them are gods, apparently.
Look at the numbers for Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, three straight games with at least three hits. Back-to-back games with home run. I mean, he was the cover of the Friday podcast of this live stream. He was, you know, the featured guy in the playbook. He was my home run call, and he came through right away in the first inning. So I'm all back in on the Cardinals for today. They'll be my top stack. Yep. He is very expensive, but if you're mid-tier spending and you're pitching today, or you're spending down at catcher, like, your Goldschmidt's got to be a lock on your lineups.
Agreed. And honestly, the only argument at first base against him is probably his teammate, who's $2,000.
Right.
Yeah. Which is crazy to say, but, like, it's this is like the craziest stretch of games Albert Pujols has had in like 10 years. Like, actually, like,
the powers
mind-blowingly.
Right? 5 home runs in his last 5 games? 2 games at 2 home runs?
It's mind-numbingly good.
Yeah.
I don't
Last 10 games, he is hitting 500 with a 1,700 OPS with 6 homers. So,
Here's a question for you, okay?
I'm still playing Goldschmidt. I am, but...
Well, okay, here's going to be my question.
Sure.
Because I agree, like, obviously, long-term, like, we're going to make more money using Paul Goldschmidt than Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're, let's say, playing the 20 max for, or let's say you're playing the mini max, or you're playing, let's say you're playing 20 lineups, right? Yep. What's your exposures? Like, how much Goldschmidt, how much Pujols, how much everybody else? Because, like, obviously, we're going
to play... It's
probably
15-5 for me.
Like, Goldschmidt, Pujols, yeah. And then 5 everyone else?
No, it's like 15 Goldschmidt, 5 Pujols.
And no exposure anywhere else?
No, I just mean, like, if you're asking me first base, if I'm making 20 lineups, I would make 15 Paul fair. Goldschmidt and 5 Albert Pujols.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Okay. So, I mean, it is, I will say you probably have, like, the lineups with Pujols are probably the ones where you double barrel your pitcher and go Scherzer, Urias.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, there are other spend ups. I would say
maybe more.
Well, you're just varying your stack, right? Like where we got the third base, like we're locking in Arenado, right? And then it's Arenado Goldschmidt or Arenado Pujols. And then if you're playing Pujols, it just allows you to spend up like Trey Turner or somebody like that's going up against Lauer, right? So it just depends on how you're going to go ahead and build that. And we're going to build a lineup at the end of this as well. We didn't mention that at the beginning, but if you've been watching the previous iterations of this video, you'll notice that James and I are now on top of one another because we wanted to open up the lineup space because at the end of this, after our home run, we're going to go ahead and just kind of build an example lineup based off of some of the information and decisions that we've come across here so far. So, stay tuned for that if you're listening in so far. The last 10 minutes into this. So, anyways.
You know what Joel Embiid would say right there, John?
Trust the process?
Yep, that would be our lineup build. All about the process.
All about the process. So, again, Paul Goldschmidt, Albert Pujols, fine. Like them both if you want to go there. If we're in the mid-tier, again, weather could be an issue here, but obviously Matt Olson for me at 46 against Contreras.
A lot of power lately. Ton of power lately.
Yeah, he's a big power guy. So I'm fine there. I don't mind Rhys Hoskins against Sessa. I'm not sure your thoughts on Hoskins there.
Yeah, it's going to be a bullpen. Well, that's just going to be a bullpen game in general because Sessa's not going to –
But he's going to at least get the first at-bat. So.
True. I'm trying to look up what we're looking at in terms of bullpen ERA for the Reds because, like – I know they're bullpen. I mean, they had Hunter Strickland closing games. Like, that ERA is not going to be looking pretty.
Yeah.
I could see a scenario where they rival. Okay. Yep. They're my thoughts exactly. They rival St. Louis ownership.
Sure.
Cincinnati, worst bullpen ERA in the league.
Yeah. That makes sense. So I'm fine with Hoskins just for the matchup sake in general.
Sure.
So. Assuming there's no weather there. If there is, Miranda, we talk about matchups against lefties. And this year, he's hit 8 of his 13 home runs against left-handed pitching. Yep. 876, against left-handed pitching. Batting average is about hitting the same for him. It's around 280 plus against lefties and righties, so he doesn't really get hurt either way there. But if we want to go ahead and stack against Reagan's, you can do that with Miranda here at $3,900.
The dude's been great. Hitting 4th for Minnesota every day as well. I mean...
A better basketball player or is Lynn Manuel a better actor? A better baseball player or is Lynn Manuel a better actor?
I don't even know who Lynn Manuel is.
He's what?
Who's that?
Oh man, you have to be cultured. He's a Broadway star, man.
Oh, I don't know.
He's from Hamilton. Sorry to.
Oh, I'm sorry to those that celebrate Hamilton.
Okay, well they're related. They're cousins. So.
Wait, really? Jose Miranda is?
Yeah.
Oh well, then definitely the
why
guy.
Was it, why do you think I was making that connection?
Oh, I don't know. But, I mean, Hamilton is way more famous than Jose Miranda.
Yeah.
Right. Half baseball fans probably don't even know who Jose Miranda is. Half the podcast is going to see...
Well, I didn't say who is more famous. I said who's better at their craft, but...
Oh, I know how big Hamilton is.
Sure.
So, like, whoever is in that one is more famous. Like, even the background dancers.
He is the lead in Hamilton, so...
Oh, yeah. Forget it. That guy's way
better. So, anyways.
Forget that.
Anyways, now that we've exposed you for the lack of culture there, I'm good with Jose Miranda. Also good with Nate Lowe at $3,300 if we want to go there. As well. Anybody else for you?
I don't hate Vogelbach in a Mets stack.
Sure.
I don't think much of Domingo Germán. He's a homer twice today, John. Four home runs in his last 10 games. Seemingly all he's doing this year is five. I'm not, but just throwing out that he had two home runs. More of a, you know, not paying homage to two home runs on Sunday. Derek Hall, if he wanted.
Derek Hall?
Yeah. If I mean, all he does when he plays is hit home runs, like, or like just hit in the gap or, you know, just be powerful. So Derek Hall, and no, that's it.
Yeah. Because you're spending down, you're playing pools, like we talked about, right? So,
yeah. Actually, you know what? I'll say also 2K, and I had him in the playbook, had him in a couple lineups today. Mike Moustakas has looked better since coming off the IL. Hits in four straight, hits in three straight since coming off the IL. And homered
today, and a home run.
Homered on Sunday. So I would not hate going, especially if you're not in on the Syndergaard camp. I think
so if you're on FanDuel, you can play both Pujols and Goldschmidt, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're on FanDuel, you're, yeah, that's, yeah.
Easier way to stack. All right, second base. We got Jazz update here. Yet to resume activities, so nowhere near close to that one. We're not going to play DJ.
Like, that sounds like a year ender, huh?
Yeah,
yet to probably resume, and we're already in August 21st. That looks like...
How many stolen bases for Birdie here against Aller?
I can't believe we're only at 30. It seemed like he was going to...
Well, he spent a lot of time in the IL. That was the problem.
That's true. You know? If he gets on, you know, these Adam Holers... These Adam Holer slates are driving me crazy. One run last time out, yeah. Texas was like 100% owned. Houston, two earned runs.
He's not
and the
good.
Numbers... I know the numbers just say he's going to get crushed. But imagine stacking
that
Miami.
Is that the Texas game that everybody stacked?
Yes.
Texas?
Yes. That
annoying.
Was. Yep.
Anyways, Birdie gets on, he can steal three bags. So
correct. Correct.
It's in his wheelhouse potentially. So if you wanted to do that, we talked about Edmund being better against lefties. So I know you're not a big Edmund guy, but you know, just part of the card stack if you want to go there.
I agree.
Uraz has some really good numbers. Like, he just keeps hitting. There's going to be nothing else there, but, like, if you're going to stack, you know, maybe you could go there. I know he's a lefty, but, like, again, he just sort of just hits. So
he's hit 330. You don't hit 330 with just hitting
unless
one
he's hitting 600 against righties. He hits everybody. So
yeah,
it's kind of my thoughts when it comes to him.
He is hitting, let's see, he's hitting Uraz. He's actually only hitting 260 against a lefty.
What's his right-handed?
That's kind of crazy, huh? Yeah. He is hitting against right-handed pitching.
410.
He is hitting 354. Okay. It's just a massive sample compared to what he's had against
Fair
lefties.
Enough. Fair enough. Fletcher gets a lefty in Springs. I know you're big on Springs, but I'm big on Fletcher. So 351 average the last 10 games. They hit him fifth. They're hitting him behind Trout.
No, he hit second. Exactly. No, they switched it around today. It was Fletcher, Trout, Otani, Rengifo was four, Ward was five. So he led off today. But I mean, first or fifth, like
he should be hitting leadoff, but I'll take either way. So
yeah, they're both fine.
Yep.
Both fine.
Yep. So he's in there. Hanser Alberto at 2,300 against a lefty. If he finds his way into the lineup there, swing it. And then Grissom, as we always talk about. Still 2,100. I mean, they don't touch him.
Dude, this guy is incredible.
Like,
he's incredible.
He's incredible. Another two hits today.
Yeah.
Do we just lock him in?
Yeah.
I know we're going to build a lineup at the end, but, like, do we just lock him? We don't like second base, so should we just lock him in to second base?
Yeah. Here's my question to you, by the way. Should we build a cash example? Like, what are your thoughts here?
I'm going to build a GP.
We're going to build a tournament example?
Yeah,
okay.
Tournament example.
I would also just pivot to – I would go play Donovan Solano as well, 3,200. I don't know.
Would you play Solano over Grissom at this point?
No, I wouldn't. But I'm just saying
– I mean, he's been very good. I'm just asking, like, how you're
– Grissom – dude, Grissom is the bee's knees.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid – and I think the thing about it is, too, at the end of the day, Grissom is cheaper, but he'll always – I mean, there's just more upside because his lineup is so good around him that there's more run-producing opportunity.
I'm locking in Julio Urias for us as well at 10K.
Julio Urias at 10K and
Grissom at 21.
And Goldschmidt.
You want to lock in Goldie?
Yeah, let's lock in Goldschmidt. We'll leave everything open until we – as we go through, like, we'll probably lock more guys in, but let's just have those three for now.
Okay, with those three on DraftKings, $4,500 a player remaining – still needing an SB2. We know we can spend down potentially some other options here. So, all right, third base. We have Arenado at $5,500. We got Austin Riley at 51 against Contreras there. Could double stack. Either stacks could be built with Atlanta or St. Louis there. We've mentioned already Birdie. If you wanted to go in that direction, you could. And Miranda on DraftKings is first base and third base eligible. So at $3,900 for him. Again, guys we've discussed, but because the multiple position eligibility. Plus, as you scroll down, a lot of these guys are also on the IL. So, you know, the player pool really is a bit dwindling if you're not spending up.
I'm definitely interested in Alec Bohm. He had 2 home runs today, 6 RBI, and we mentioned how bad Cincinnati's relief staff is. So I think Philly, outside of the guys you mentioned, Philly is going to be a very interesting spot in Bohm. I mean, we were playing him a lot a couple months ago.
Yeah, 2 runs, a couple home runs today. So
I think he's in a really good spot. And
okay. Yeah, he's slumping overall, but obviously a good jump off point if you're coming off of like 2 homers. So
right.
Could be a spot. I agree with you. Could be a spot against the league's worst bullpen, 4,100. So I'm fine with that. Let's see. Anybody else for you at third base?
I mean, if we wanted to play like Miranda at first, you could play Gio Urshela at third.
Sure.
3,200. Brett Beatty, the Mets prospect, who hasn't looked great since the debut, but we know there's power there. Gio Hermann in Yankee Stadium, like that's scary for doing Gio Hermann.
Your boy Oswaldo gets Scherzer. We're not probably going to
go. Yeah,
probably a Negatron on that one.
Probably. So. It's probably a no from me, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So third base is interesting. Again, we have one of our favorites all season long, Austin Riley, in the righty matchup, slumping of late, only 1-6 in the last 10, but still made us more money this year than I think he's lost us.
For sure.
So we won't complain there. Arenado was a monster the other day when you played him, 4-for-5, 3 doubles in that game. So he's actually thrown out going for a double. So one of his hits, he was actually thrown out stretching into a... So he could have had 4 doubles if he wasn't thrown out, potentially.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, yeah, not bad. And then we mentioned you could go back to Miranda if you wanted to go there, you know. So some decent third base potential there. Shortstop. Trey Turner's at 61. Gets Lauer, lefty man. We talk about how we don't generally find ourselves playing Trey Turner. I could be part of it if we're playing Pujols, like I mentioned. Like, I could see myself maybe spending up on Turner instead.
Yeah, I mean... You look at the rest of the board in terms of, like, spend-ups. I mean, I think he's near the top.
Sure.
I think he's near the top.
Yep, I agree. Correa at 5K. Again, if we're convincing ourselves of a twin stack, right, you got to put Correa in there.
I think they were the second highest owned team on Sunday slate, John. Do you know how many runs they scored?
0.
Me, you, Howard Bender, all of our dogs, and the Twins all scored the same amount of runs on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were much higher on than us, let me tell you.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Again, I feel like we find ourselves sometimes stacking like bad offenses and we lose money on them. So
the Twins, no question about it. Not even close. The Twins have been the worst shock of the year. Like, if someone out there is putting together like a graph of who has lost the most money like in terms of chalk, I'm telling you right now, I'd bet on the Twins.
I would believe you. I wouldn't argue it. So, Correa's at 5K. Again, if you're part of the stacks, you can go there. Again, this is the thing. Like, I don't really love a lot of these. Like, you can play Lindor. You can play Seager. Like, that's fine.
Sure.
Dansby at 49. Sure. You can go ahead and play that if you want to go there. Oh, no. Cruz has really fallen off. You know, power one shot. If you're thinking Odorizzi continues his downslide. Yeah, high played, unfortunately, DeYoung the other day. Does nothing. Then he homers the next. So,
Grant hits a granny, too.
Right? Like, could have done a world of good on Friday, but he did nothing and said he struck out, like, 3 times. So,
yep.
It's always viable. He hits, like, 6 in that lineup. So, if you wanted to go DeYoung at 38, you could. Anybody else at shortstop for you that maybe we haven't mentioned quite
yet? I'll just go back to the Phillies. Bryson Stott.
Sure.
$3,900. Looks good at the dish right now. Gets the righty-lefty. You know, do we suspect Luis Sessa is long for this game? No. But Bryson Stott... At home this year, 752 OPS, on the road, 511. This game is being played in Citizens Bank, so, you know, not bad. And Taylor Walls, if you're running a raised stack, if you're being a little contrarian against Tucker Davis, switch hitter has shown some pop lately, 519 slug.
His last 10 games, so.
Yeah, so I don't hate Taylor Walls in a raised stack.
All right, outfield against a lefty. We actually looked it up the other day. You know, generally, Mookie has been better against righties the last couple of years, but this season he's actually hitting lefties again.
Yep.
You know, heyday to his, or shout out to his Red Sox days where Mookie was a lefty masher.
Right.
This year against left-handed pitching, 993 OPS, 319 batting average. So, again, I'm a believer in Lauer on the road is a must-stack against. So, you know, deciding between St. Louis and the Dodgers, I think, is going to be difficult for me. Single lineuping, I'm going to try to get exposure. I think the bolt, a little bit of bolt if I can somewhere. And maybe these decisions are swaying me more towards Pujols, sadly, because I do want to get some Dodgers here. But it's a good hitter spot for the Cardinals, too, right? You're getting them. I mean, Pujols hits anywhere. So, I mean, Goldschmidt kind of hits anywhere. But get him out of St. Louis into a potential wind-blowing-out Chicago point. It's a great spot. So, I like bets. No, we tried to talk up Buxton against a lefty the other day. Again, hasn't done anything. So, play at your own risk. As we talked about the Twins, they've been kind of hurting us when it comes to that. Trout's at 58. Schwarber's at 58. Talking about going up against Cincinnati. Certainly could fit Schwarber in your lineup, all that home run power.
Yeah, I mean, I like – those are the three guys I would – Mookie, Buxton, and Schwarber over 5K. Those are like literally the three players I was going
to mention. At some point, Trout will do Trout things, but hard to right now.
I mean, he was good today. 2-for-3 in a walk. Like, he was on base 3 times. They just didn't score, and it was singles, right? So
another 2-hit game for Tyler O'Neill the other day, following the 0-for-5 on, again, the day where we talked about it. So, you know, again, lefty spot on the road could be a spot for Tyler O'Neill here against Drew Smyly if you want to go there. As I've talked a lot about, though, for me, Dylan Carlson against lefties, $3,900 has been where I've been playing it. He had 2 hits and a run scored in that game, so I'm fine running it back. We've been both talking up a lot of Brian Reynolds. You know, $4,300 for him, I think, is a good spot for him.
Yeah, and we talked last podcast when El Rizzi gave up all those home runs that...
Right, we did identify that, right?
Yeah, so we said that there was regression coming and there were going to be home runs leaving the yard.
It was the Mets, wasn't it?
The Mets hit like 3 in the first inning, and it's the lefty... It was the lefty fly ball rate that was...
Even though I think Marte hit 2 home runs in that game.
Marte hit 2, but that was Beatty hit 1, was... the lefty home run, and I forget who the other one was, but plays into our Reynolds theory here, because Reynolds has been hit for a lot of power lately. I mean, we've seen multiple slate breaking games from Reynolds lately. I mean, he's had 230 plus fantasy point games over his last 10, 4 home runs in his last 7 games or so. So I think Reynolds is in a great spot against Odorizzi. I think the lefty power, now that Pittsburgh has a lot, because they don't, but they do. You know what? They do have a bunch of lefties, so don't need to play a Pittsburgh stack, but it is worth mentioning lefty power against Odorizzi. Yeah.
I mean, we talk about O'Neill Cruz, right? Brian Reynolds.
Right.
O'Neill Cruz hits balls further than anybody. He just doesn't make contact. So
he just doesn't hit the ball.
You know, Michael Harris starting to come down a little bit, but could certainly throw him in a lineup if you're going in for the Braves. Talked about Carlson. I don't know. Anybody else stick out to you? Margot is generally good against lefties, right? I mean, it's been a bit just back for 2 games, but $3,700, maybe a raise, possibly a sneaky team, a Rosarena, Margot.
Yep. Well, I was good. Well, you know, I've been playing so much Randy or Rosarena lately, and once again today, 12 fantasy points, stolen base. I was going to mention Harold Ramirez.
He was very cheap, right?
He is very good, John. Like $3,400. 3-for-4 today, 2-for-4 yesterday, 2-for-4 the day before, homered in Yankee Stadium 4 games ago.
Just another Ray that doesn't have any real power, you know?
I don't know if you're looking, but Harold Ramirez is hitting .337.
I looked. I brought it up.
I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I've been, like, kind of vibing with the Rays lately because they're all cheap except Rosarena and Brandon Lau. But they're all kind of good. We've mentioned Francisco Mejia, how good he is against lefties. Yandy Diaz
homered the other day when he played.
Yandy Diaz sent a ball to the moon, which he never does.
Right. He looks like he should.
He should. I mean, he looks like he should have 50 home runs a year. They're like sneaky good.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on the Margot thing, but I'm also on Ramirez, on the Ramirez train as well. I think you could play both. They hit Margot second today. They hit Ramirez fourth. So both are right in the middle of that Rays lineup. So something to consider. You could probably play an entire, if you're doing something contrarian, you play 3 Rays outfielders. You play a Rosarena, Margot, and Harold Ramirez. Well, I think pretty good floor, pretty good upside there as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. Franmil's been hot, but, you know, again, against Montgomery, maybe a little bit of a tough spot for him, but $3,200.
Look who's back, John, right below Franmil.
No, they sent him down to AAA.
Oh, they sent Yepez down, huh? Instead, he appeared in one final rehab start. I just wonder, pay attention, maybe he gets called up for Monday, but...
Possible. Trace against a lefty. I mean, guys like 33,000 OPS, right? If he's in the lineup, for sure.
Like that?
3,100, yeah. Get some cheap Dodger exposure. He hits at the bottom of the lineup, but like we talked about, right? Like a wraparound. So, you know, it works. Any other guys for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Jake,
yeah.
Jake Fraley?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Jake Fraley. He was in almost... I had like 75% exposure to Fraley on Sunday, and he was popular. He was the only red that was like extremely popular, but he made one of my, I had him as a 2020 candidate earlier in the year, and injuries and stuff like derailed his season. But man, he looks good hitting atop that order. Like he looks really good right now. So 2,500, you know what he's going to be in, John? Every couch lineup imaginable at 2,500.
Yeah, I agree with you. I got no one else, though. Do you have anybody else that you like? Doc Tavares a lot. He's 2,500, Leody.
Yeah, I think Leody, if you're into the Rangers, I think that's fine. Senzel has been a little better lately. 3 straight games with at least 7 fantasy points. 4 of the last 5 with 7. He has 2 of his last 3 in double figures. Other than that, though, yeah. I don't think we like need to go.
No, I agree with you. Give me your home run call.
I'm going to go with Buxton against a lefty. I like Byron Buxton against lefties. His numbers are actually insane against left-handed pitching. So yeah, I'll go Byron Buxton.
I think for me, I'm going to go Arenado this time.
Change it up a little bit. Well, if you're going to go Arenado, I agree. Do we lock him in the third? Because we're gonna build our lineup, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we do this? If we're confident in Arenado, we'll toy with it, but we could go Arenado at third, and we have the Pujols in our back pocket at first.
We'll pivot the Pujols. We'll play Arenado at shortstop. Do you spend up for Dodgers? Trey Turner or Mookie Betts?
I feel like Mookie would go Mookie, but I also understand the Turner thing because shortstop is.
Right. If we're not playing Turner at short for me, I think I would go down to either you play the O'Neill Cruz home run GPP play, or you just sort of do the safe Fletcher play at 3,300.
Yeah, I was looking in the Fletcher range. Like, here's the thing. Like, in the outfield, we have Jake Fraley, right? Like, that's a $2,500 play that we have in our back pocket.
Yeah, I mean, we put him in there.
Right? I think we would lock Fraley
in. I like Carlson as a leadoff guy.
What is Carlson's price?
3,900.
Yeah, I mean, if we're playing, and we're playing Pujols, we're playing Arenado. Yeah,
So that breaks up the stack a little bit. Obviously, Pujols hits like
fifth. Yeah, he's been hitting like fifth.
So
1-4-5.
So Goldie actually hit third the other day. They had O'Neill hitting second, right? So
it would be a 1-4-5 if we just played the trio.
Right.
Do you want to go the full stack?
No, I don't think so.
We can. We don't. I'm not saying we don't have to, because the most logical option is going O'Neill as our right. Doing.
Do you like Mookie at 65?
Probably prefer Mookie Betts to Turner, but again, it's like I think shortstop is a weaker position. I think that the stack that we play probably Turner probably fits better into our build than Mookie does.
Yeah, I just filled in the Dodgers. I filled in if we wanted to do well. So I filled in Will Smith, Turner, Mookie. It gives us, if we stick with the Urias, it gives us $6,400 for a SP2, which doesn't exist.
And a catcher? Oh, you played WD.
Yeah, I played WD. But,
how about this?
But if we don't do Urias, we can play Lopez and Montgomery as our two pitchers and do double mid-tier. Or if we don't do Mookie... Or we don't do Turner. Obviously, we can spend down at either Fletcher. We could play Trace Thompson at cheap for outfield. Could do the O'Neill play.
Would you rather stay Mookie Turner as opposed to Will Smith and go down to Francisco Mejia at 3,500?
Yep, we could do that. Was there? Mejia was the 35. Urias. So we're of course at $7,900. We're $100 off of Pablo. Obviously, happens. $300 off of Montgomery. So. We would need to find an additional...
And that's with...
And Trey, yes.
Mejia, what's our second base?
So we could go Darno, he's 3K. If we
I think Darno... I mean...
Right?
Darno is in a really good rhythm. I think Ronzi... Let's look at Ronzi's splits.
This is the lineup I just put together here. You look at the Ronzi splits if you want. We could even have a mini stack here, depending on how that lineup racks with Grissom and Darno, but... Reyes and Montgomery.
Okay.
We got Darnell. We got Pujols and Grissom. Nato, Turner, Fraley, Carlson, and Betts. So that gives us a three Cardinals players, Arenado, Carlson, and Pujols. It gives us two Atlanta players, Grissom and Darnell. It gives us Turner and Betts at the top of the Dodgers lineup here against Lauer. And then it fills in with one-off plays, or just one one-off play, Fraley at 2,500.
And we have 100 left over.
We have 100 left over. We could play Pablo Lopez over Montgomery, depending on the wind, potentially.
Yep, I like this.
Obviously, the Cardinals much bigger favorites. I mean, Miami's a favorite, likely to win over Oakland, anyways. But you know, Miami's offense versus we're expecting St. Louis to just crush. So
I like this build.
Those watching, I'm not entering the 888. I'm not playing the $888. But I will enter the lineup that we come up with. So
Ronzi Contreras, Sean, and our two righties for Atlanta, and it might be we might want to maybe think about more righties for Atlanta.
Well, there's only a few that we would play if we wanted to pivot off of the Dodgers, obviously, or pivot off the Cardinals. Those are obvious pivots to Swanson and Austin Riley. So
and yeah, if we wanted to as well. 2.850 OPS, 367 WOBA.
Sure.
For right-handed batters against Ronzi Contreras.
So that's so then we'll settle in on this lineup for now. Obviously, you're on the playbook. The podcast will be available. The video will be available to everybody that's listening. Obviously, if weather comes down, these things can certainly change. Pittsburgh is one of those games that where there is a possible weather issue, and if that is the case, then we just make some pivots to how this lineup plays out. Get in our Discord if you're not already a subscriber to Fantasy Alarm. Again, right now is the ultimate time to get in there. We have an all-access pro package offer of NFL 50. For the first 6 months of the month package, you get 50% off. So for about $20 a month for the next 6 months, you get access to all DFS content. Almost took down the big GPP for NASCAR today. If not for that late caution restart, we had a subscriber near takedown in the MMA DFS contest on Saturday. We got everything going on. We got baseball, EPL, you name it, eSport, and of course, you know, the NFL season's coming up. So all of that content will be available to you with the NFL, the All Access Pro package there. Use promo code NFL50. And you get 50% off the first 6 months. And that gives you access to our premium Discord where you can ask myself, James Grande, Howard Bender, Pete Cole, Colby Conway, Justin Veland, Matt Sells, you name it, the whole team. Whole squad's in there answering your lineup questions up until roster lock. With that being said, good luck, everybody. Let's go win some money.